Yes, I know what you think of me. You never shut up, never shut up, never shut up, never shut up.
Good morning, everybody. Today is Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. I'm your host, Rose Kress, and today we've pulled thoughts. Thoughts right now. What thoughts are you having right now? What thoughts am I having right now? I'm having thoughts that, well, I'm midway through the week, and I'm just about finished with a 3-week run. So for those of you that don't know, I teach in a yoga teacher training, and every other weekend we have a full weekend. And sandwiched in between those weekends this month was a fair, Rasani Fair in Albany, Oregon. If you're in the Pacific Northwest, it's like the best metaphysical fair in the Pacific Northwest. It happens twice a year. Anyway, we had that. So I'm on a 3-week run, and I cannot wait until the weekend. Those are the thoughts that I'm having right now. I'm recording this the day before. I'm literally post-nap. I'm still napping, but today I have napped a little longer because I was so unbelievably tired. So those are my thoughts right now. I'm going to tell you some other thoughts right now, but let's talk about the song for a second, and then we'll talk about how it ties into Earth Week, and then I'll share something really, really cool that I did, and then I'll share a practice with you. So Tori says, "Girl was being recorded, and I couldn't get a take. I was freaking out. Eric was in the booth playing airball, encouraging me to take a 10-minute. Glued on the bench, I started this thing coming from nowhere, singing nonsense into the mic. When I finished, Eric said, 'It's a take.' I said, 'What?' He had left the machine running." So the lyrics, she starts out, "Thoughts right now, I picked up a magazine. Oh, hey, hey, here they go, 1,500 years, 1,500 years right here. Oh, burning witches, burning books, burning babies in their looks, yes, indeed. Burning everything that's sacred in my genes, yeah, oh, thoughts right now." She'd been everybody else's girl. Thoughts right now, thoughts right now. Right now, am I here or am I here? I'm never here. I'm never here. I'm never here. I am never, never a bird, in the flower, in the tree, in the pain of the respect thereof. Yes, indeed. Thoughts right now. What will become of me, become of her, become of we, babe? I love it. And I love it because, you know, it's just like, I mean, she's literally just kind of, she's dumping. And sometimes I do that kind of dumping writing. And it is a process called morning pages where you just kind of dump thoughts out. And it is a creative process. And I love the rhyme that's going on. You can hear, you know, see a little bit of the flavor of girl in here. And, you know, she's obviously thinking about the song and kind of what's behind the song. And, you know, she's just kind of going for it and letting it flow. And flow is really important in the creative process. It's an important part of nature. I mean, we think about, like, everything we hear is completely polished up. And I think that's one of the reasons I appreciate so much these one-take songs that Tori has done. Because, I mean, is there a little production on it? Probably. But for the most part, you're hearing the song kind of as it is. It's one of the reasons I love live music instead of produced music. I mean, I love produced music, don't get me wrong, but if I have my choice, I love listening to live music because it's not produced. It's what happened in that moment. And I love an artist who doesn't have to stick to the song exactly as it is. I mean, I love going, I'll go see just about anybody. I mean, I've seen a lot of people many, many times. And one of the things that I really appreciate about Tori is that, you know, she, even when she's playing with the guys, right? Whoever the guys may be, if it's Matt and John or Ash and John, there's still improvisation that happens. There's still moments where she misses her cue or, you know, she's like, you know, no, we're going to go again. We're going to go again, boys. And she's communicating. And I love that anything could happen. Even though we've polished this and we've worked really hard on this, anything could happen. And this last tour with all of the improvs and the playing beforehand, chef's kiss, absolutely magnificent. So to capture something like that, that flow of creativity, which for those of you that are creative, there's a lot of kind of creative flow that happens before you create art. I mean, I'm not going to call what I'm doing here in this podcast an art. I don't know if it qualifies. I mean, I guess maybe it does, but Maybe it doesn't. And Ephron certainly makes me sound very polished up as an amazing producer, but what Ephron doesn't get is, like, the 15 times it took me to start this. Like, I'm just saying the date, the day, and the song, and how long does it take me to get started sometimes? I have no idea. But then, for me, I mean, one of the things I love about this is a creative flow for me. Sometimes I go into it like, oh, we're specifically going to focus on this, and then other times we're going to do this, or I'm going to talk about point A, point B, point C. I mean, I'm kind of going to do that today, but what comes in between is a creative flow. It's one of the reasons I love teaching yoga, because the class is a creative flow. I don't plan what I'm going to teach before I teach it. And even on the days when I do plan and I do have a sheet, because sometimes I teach like that, what I teach is not what was on the sheet. I mean, it is, but I taught the other day and I just wrote like some poses down, so I had an idea, and then I just taught what I wanted to teach off of that. It was a restorative class that's a little more challenging. It just takes more props and, you know, a little more sequence. So pulling, you know, oh, I'm just going to pull all these poses out of the ether and figure it out. That's not, I don't teach restorative yoga enough to do that. It's not really a thing. Like, sadly, restorative yoga is not really the thing it used to be, like, 15 years ago. And I think we need it more than ever. But anyway, creative flow. Creative flow is important. And this is, we have two practices today. The first practice is creative flow. What can you do and just let flow from you creatively? This is what I felt like this song really exemplifies, what it means to outcreate. Yesterday, we touched on the chase and outcreating the darkness, and this is a really good example of what it looks like to outcreate the darkness, to be in that flow of energy and to be creative and to outcreate something. I mean, she's also, like, just even the story behind it, she's in the darkness of not being able to get a take on a song. And so what does she do? Like, I mean, she takes the 10 minutes, she's just playing, and she literally out-creates herself out of the darkness by just this little ditty, and it just happens to be, lucky us, it just happens to be captured on the recording, and I think that's such a beautiful thing. Out-creating the darkness. So that's part of your task today. Should you choose to accept it, go do something creative. Who cares what the outcome looks like? Stop monetizing your habits and go create something. Go have fun. Go create a pile of mud in the garden or in the yard. Paint and let it be a horrible painting. Draw, color, cook something. Who cares if it's not good? My husband made pumpkin banana bread with walnuts and raisins and all of that. And he's just, it was really hard and this and that. I'm like, oh, you know, he's like, oh, it was bad. I'm like, really? I kind of ate a whole bunch of it. So how was it bad? Stop focusing on perfection and instead focus on the perfection of the act of creation and creativity itself, and that in and of itself is about the perfection. That is the perfection, is the act of creation, not the end result. Focus on the action, not the end result. Focus on the journey, not the destination. You're going to miss everything on the journey if all you're focused on is the destination. You're going to miss the failings and the skills that you pick up while you're failing along your journey if you've only got your eyes on the prize. So yeah, know that it's out there, know what you're doing, but also learn from things, experience things along the way. That's so important. So I said I was going to share with you something really cool I did, and I'm feeling really, really proud of myself, and I'll tell you why. So this past week, the other reason I'm so exhausted is it's been 2 weeks of, you know, just straight work. I had a dental appointment last week, which I have to drug myself for because I'm like, I freak out with people's hands in my mouth. It's not the actual dental work that freaks me out. It's not the shot that freaks me out. It's not the sound of the drill. Like, I don't really care. That doesn't bug me that much. It's the hands in my mouth that just puts me over the top. So I had that on Tuesday, and that was like, yeah. And I had something on Monday. I just had anxiety on Monday about the fact that I had a dentist appointment on Tuesday. And then we had a training thing on Wednesday. And then on Thursday and Friday, I went to a lifeguard instructor certification course at which is, it's a Red Cross course, but I work as a lifeguard, and this opportunity came up to become certified to instruct other lifeguards in the Red Cross method and to become lifeguards. And there are other certification methodologies around lifeguarding and so on and so forth, but I'm Red Cross trained. And so I really wanted to do it. So it was me and two other coworkers from the Lebanon Community Pool, where I work as a lifeguard. And so we, all three of us, took the course. And I was really excited about it because, I mean, I love teaching. I love teaching, and I love helping people succeed, and I love helping them feel confident about themselves. And so this was kind of like a no-brainer, like, oh yeah, let's do this. And I have a longevity too. I mean, I'm not like 17 and gonna go away to a school or go do something else. Like, I'm kind of around for a while. Anyway, so I was so anxious about, like, literally the lead up to this training, I was super anxious about, because we had to do prerequisites, but it didn't have to say what prerequisites we had to do. So I was like, oh my gosh, like, are we gonna have to do the brick challenge? And I mean, we call it the brick challenge at the pool, but the brick challenge, like, essentially you have to swim 20 yards, dive down to 10 to 14 feet, depending on the depth of the pool. I mean, it's 10 feet is the what you want it at, but dive down to 10 feet, retrieve the brick, and then swim back, keeping the brick at the surface of the water. And you have to do that in a minute. I think you have a minute 40 seconds to complete that challenge. I can't remember. Anyway, that gives me the most anxiety, and I have no idea why, because the first time I did it, I like completed it in a minute and 10 seconds. And then the last time I did it in like 50 seconds. And I was just kind of like chill about it. Like, I didn't really push myself that hard. I just was like, okay, I'm doing this, like, 'cause I know I can do it. Anyway, the anxiety level, thinking like, I'm gonna have to do the brick challenge again. This is freaking, I thought we were gonna have to swim, tread water, and do that. You know, that's what you have to do to prove that you can be a lifeguard. But oh no, that was not what we had to do. So Thursday morning, I'm like getting ready. And the other thing I haven't really shared, just because I've been in process, and this is not like podcast sob stories, oh, poor Rose, but my hip has been in a state for like 4.5 months, and like my leg collapses under me first thing in the morning. And with a little bit of movement, I can like get it worked out and the kinks worked out. So anyway, I've been in this really horrid pain cycle the last month, really bad. And anyway, so that was going on. So I woke up at 5:30. I didn't have to be there till 8, and I live right around the corner from the Albany pool, which is where I took the training. And I got up with a lot of time to spare so I could do pain management, so I didn't walk in the building limping, and so that I could bend over and pick stuff up without wincing, because I didn't really want them to know how bad it was, because I didn't want to be told like, no, you can't do this because you're not physically fit to even bend over and pick something up right now, which I kind of wasn't. But anyway, I was so anxious. I went to the bathroom like 3 times. I was like, oh my God, I'm freaking out. And then I was late because there wasn't parking. Anyway, what do we have to do? We have to do a submerged victim. And so that means you have to jump in, dive down to the bottom of the pool, which their pool is 12. So I was like, sweet, because our pool is 13. And I'm like, sweet, an extra foot less, which means it's going to be a little bit easier. Dive down, retrieve somebody from the bottom of the pool, pull them up, swim them over to the edge, get them on a backboard, pull them out on the backboard, and then perform, what was it, 2 or 3 minutes of CPR. And then, you know, just to like, can you do this? And how proficiently can you do this? And, you know, you're being watched and judged. And of course, I mean, we're all lifeguards, so we had to have done this to become lifeguards. And oh man, I'm freaking out. So I do not go first, because like, if I want to get stuff over with, I do stuff first. But one of the things, especially when I'm not feeling confident, I don't want to go first, because I want to watch and I want to learn, because I know how I operate. If I can watch somebody and I can hear the feedback that they're given on what they're doing, I can then incorporate and I can do better. And, you know, like, so I wait. And I know that intimidates people, because people think that I'm waiting to go last because I'm a know-it-all and I want to show off and prove myself and all of that. No, that's not it. I'm really trying to like learn and absorb and so that I can perform, because I personally don't want to feel like a failure when I know I could have done something better. Anyway, so one of the guys, and of course I'm 46, and I think the guy from the pool at OSU, I don't know, he's got to be 22, 23. Right? So I'm twice as old as everybody. I could be each one of their parents. Anyway, so I'm like, oh my God. So do I have something to prove? A little bit. But more than that, I have a lot to prove to myself that like I'm 46, I've got some physical issues, and not just that I've been in physical pain, but I've got other physical issues. I have MS. Like I have a lot to prove to myself, and being able to do something physically demanding is kind of important to me, especially going through stuff. Anyway, he had a hard time with it, and I was like, oh, thank God. The young buff guy didn't do that great. Whew. And now I won't feel so bad. And then, so I went and I did it, and I nailed it. The bringing the person up and getting the tube underneath them and on their back, nailed it. The climbing out wasn't as pretty, but I think I got, like, you know, I got them out of the water. And you're supposed to be able to do all of that within a minute and 30, not the CPR bit, but the minute and 30, you're supposed to be able to do that to pass your lifeguarding certification. If I wasn't there, I was really darn close. And I was like, yes, on the inside, I was like, fuck, yes, I did it. I was so proud of myself. And then we did like 5 hours in the pool, and I am so bruised and battered, and I was so tired on Friday. And I was like, I've got to go teach for 3 hours on Friday night after that. But I was like super proud of myself and the accomplishment, because that was a really intensely physical training. I mean, the first day we had to prove proficiency at, not competency, but proficiency at skills. And then the second day we had to practice teaching each other and practice giving each other feedback. And so you have to like perform a bunch of skills for the teacher so the teacher can give you, you know, practice giving you feedback. I was exhausted. I worked my ass off, and then I passed and I got my certificate today, and I feel so proud of myself. I'm like 46 years old and I passed that. And I know 46 years old doesn't seem like, on this end of things, it's like I don't feel 46. It's not true. I feel like I'm 85 sometimes, especially the past 4 months. I'm like, oh my God, when is my hip replacement coming? Although it is not, but it is, right? Like, that's how I felt. But so, you know, I don't know. I just wanted to share that with you because I feel so proud of myself. So it was a really long story. Thank you for sticking around. And for all of you that are like Gen Xers that are my age and telling yourself that you can't do stuff, look, I was in a car accident 5.5 years ago. I was injured badly. I mean, I couldn't like get off the toilet without grabbing onto something. That's how bad my back was hurting. And I had a head injury, and like, I had no stamina anymore. I had no fortitude. I've been active my whole life. And then it kind of triggered the MS, which meant I had even less strength and availability of strength. And so to come from that to becoming certified as a lifeguard last year, to swimming more, how's my 100-mile swim challenge going? It's not right now, but I'm going to get back on the wagon, get back at it, I promise. But to be able to come from that and to be as active as I am today, like I fought for every second of that. And these moments of being able to prove to myself, like, I don't care what anybody else thinks about it. I don't care if anybody else noticed. My boss was like, good job, Rose, because she knows the struggle that I've been in, because I'm, you know, I'm not going to hide it. But just to have proved that to myself feels so amazing. And I want to say to you that if you're holding yourself back from doing physical things, don't. Go for it. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. But seriously, though, like, don't hold yourself back. Like, age, I mean, it is a number. And yes, there are things that come with it. But I work with people, you know, like students that are older than me, that are more fit than I am, that have not had some of the physical health challenges that I've had in my life. And, you know, it's something that can hold me back, does hold me back, and I choose to push through it. The other thing that made me really happy in the last like year and a half, when we went to Red Rocks, like the first, when we went there and we climbed up the stairs, I was like full on out of breath. But that evening when we went to the show and we had to walk up the hill, I nailed it. I was like, yep, I'm hardly out of breath. And then we went to Albuquerque, and we were looking it up. people in Denver are like, oh my God, Denver's so high. Albuquerque is higher in elevation than Denver, so suck it. Anyway, all right, so let's do our practice. Our practice is Jala Shaya Mudra. Jala is water. It's like the temple of the water mudra. So you'll interlace your fingers so that your right thumb is on top and your left pinky is on the bottom. So your hands are interlaced just like you're clasping your hands. And then you're going to release your pointer finger and your middle finger. So you're going to stick them out along their length. It looks like a G-U-N. Oh my God, he's got a nug. It looks like a nug. That was a quote from Frasier for those of you that don't know, because that was stuck in my head last week. Oh my, he's got a nug. Because she's dyslexic. But anyway. So it's Jala Shaya Mudra. So you're going to hold this mudra and just let your hands rest to the place that it feels comfortable. This mudra is about getting us in touch with that flow of water. I like to envision for myself that I'm sitting next to a stream. I'm in a mountaintop and I'm sitting next to a stream and the water, just the trickle of water, a sweet trickle. It's cool. It's shady. I can smell the wet, but I can also smell the green. It's not like an intense summer. It's just a real sweet, a sweet moment in nature. And then I like to imagine that everything that's holding me back, every frustration, every little thing, I'm imagining that I'm just laying it on that stream like a leaf. I'm just peeling it out of myself. It's just a leaf, and I'm laying it on the water. And the water is carrying it away. And Mother Nature, she knows what to do with things. Mother Nature, she knows how to dispose of natural things, right? Not microplastics. She knows how to dispose of natural things. She knows how, we're nature. We ourselves are made up of nature. So she knows how to dispose of what we don't need. So I just imagine myself placing that leaf of competition on the stream, or that leaf of I'm not good enough, or that leaf of I don't deserve to be successful, or all of those things, right? This physical pain, I'm going to offer it up right now. And I lay it down in the river. So those things are being carried away. But then I also imagine that stream, as that stream is coming in, or river, whatever it is, as that stream is coming in, it's bringing in that fresh, clean, renewed energy. So the river fills me with confidence as I let go of self-confidence. It fills me with love as I let go of self-blame. It fills me with peace as I'm letting go of frustration. It fills me with ease as I let go of intimidation, etc., etc. So we have this sweet exchange, this renewal, and it's a flow of water. So it flows through it. It washes me clean of all those things that are standing in my way. I love using this practice when I'm wanting to get into the flow of something, but I'm also using it when I want to let go of things that are really kind of keeping me from being authentic, because that's what this is about, is the authenticity. How do we show up authentically? How do we embrace our creative flow? How do we outcreate and at the same time show up authentically? So there you have it. Go have fun and create something. If you're not sure what to create, take your Jala Shaya Mudra, breathe with it, and go have fun in your creative outlets and aspects of life. And while you're at it, post a picture, tag us, Songs of Tori Amos on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or Rosecress on Facebook and Instagram, and I will see you tomorrow. Thank you. Bye.
Hey, everybody, how's it going? So we're down to 5 more gigs out of about 140, and I just want to thank you guys for being so amazing. Obviously, most of you know these brothers of mine that I love with all my heart, and this is Kate over here on guitar. This creature back here, this is Matt Chamberlain, who hits things. Wonderful John Evans on bass. For trying now, but
she dreams and she thinks she's something. And as it boots right now, I'm barely hanging in. I'm in a letter. I know about the words, about the bad, about the things I need away. Thank you.
Never Shut Up is a production of the Sideways Society. For more information and links to things mentioned on the show, please visit us online at songsoftoriamus.com.
Yes, I know what you think of me. You never shut up.